Well, Father, we thank you today that you're going to teach us by the Holy Spirit. So we just declare that we're going to mix what we hear with our faith, and that it will produce wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you today. So, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here, and we say, have your way in this place and have your way in our lives. I submit to you and ask that the words I speak be only those that you tell me. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Jesus, for sending the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I wanted to start a little differently this morning. Do you remember back when we taught on love? We based it in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, where it ends in verse 8 saying, God is love. And one of the things that we began to do, and I asked you to do and continue, is to find, as you read scriptures, and find God, love, Jesus, substituted. Ephesians 6, 10th verse. Let me just read it. I can quote it. But my eyes need to see it. And so we'll just do this because it actually can tie in a little bit to what we're talking about today. But Paul has been talking, and he gets down and he says, finally. And the word finally there doesn't mean it's the last thing, but it means he saved the best for last or the most important for last. So he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So let's take that and do the substitution and take Lord and put love. So finally, brethren, be strong in love and in the power of His might. And so as we were doing that this week, it just, one of those things that the light turns on. If we want to walk in His power, then that verse is saying to us, be strong in love. And if you think it through, I'm going to just let you meditate that for a week. Then you'll begin to see all kind of relationships. I mean, kind of things about it. We were teaching on love last night, and so it fit in with what we were teaching. So I wanted to start there. Now, for today's The Impact of Praise, Session 5. And I'm just going to tell you, we're going to have two more. I can't rush through these next week, and so we're going to, the last two. So we'll do one next week, and then we'll take a week off, as we're going to be out of town. And then we'll pick back up and finish it up on the 3rd of August. So, we've been started and anchored in Revelation 11. And you remember, you don't have to turn there, but you remember the scene? The four beasts going around singing, holy, holy, holy. And the elders worshiping. Well, in light of what we studied last week, halal, and the definition is on there for you. To shine, to give light, to make a boast, to make a show. Clamorously foolish, rave, celebrate. You think that kind of praise is going on there around the throne when they're actually seeing Him? Can you imagine the celebration that is around that throne? And what we've seen last week is that same celebration we can have now. So we looked last week at halal, which is where we get hallelujah from when we add the Yah to it. And we looked at several verses. Chapter 34 of Psalms, verse 2. My soul shall make her boast, her halal, in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So he's talking about praise, and he brings in joy, gladness. And then you see the definition. So making a boast. Psalm 35:8 also said, I will give thanks in the great tabernacle congregation. And we'll be talking about the word for thanks today in that Psalm 35:8. And then it says, I will halal or praise thee among much people. So this is telling me that it's good for us to praise and worship when we're by ourselves, but we're also should expect that same type of praise in the big congregations with the people. And then I wanted to read Psalm 56 to you, a couple of verses from it. And we'll actually come back to 56 a little later on. Psalm 56, first four verses. Be gracious, O God, for man is trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. Now, a lot of times in the Scripture, when it's talking, particularly in Psalms, when it's talking about man oppressing, for us in the New Testament, we know man's not our enemy, so there may be oppression, but it's our enemy of our soul that's coming against us. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. Have we ever felt like that when we just didn't rise up and take authority and gain the victory over it? I sure have. For there are many who fight proudly against me. And then it says, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in thee, in God, whose word I praise. That's halal there. In God I have put my trust, therefore I shall not be afraid. So isn't that interesting that he's talking about here praising the word and glorifying the word that we get as we get that revelation of it in the same manner that we praise him? And if we think about it, it makes sense because Jesus and the Word are the same or one. And then you look down in verse 10. Well, let's read 9. It's good too. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I halal. In the Lord, whose word I halal. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do? And then look at verse 12. Your vows are binding upon me. And in my Bible, a long time ago, I wrote, wow. When I trust and receive, his words are binding to perform the work that he said for me. So that's a good scripture, and I think that's a good way to end up our discussion of halal. Now, today we want to move on. And the word that we're going to look at today is yada. I've given you again the Strong's Concordance number of it. It's used 111 verses, and it's used 114 times. So it's the second most frequent. Now, look at the way the definitions, the way it's translated. Praise, almost half of those times. Give thanks, 32 of those times. And it's really more than that if you add thank and thanksgiving. It's up near 40. And then look at the third one. It's used as confess or make confession. And so we're going to talk about that one a little bit. The actual Hebrew meaning of the word, Y-A-D, is the base word of it, and it means hand. Yada literally means to use the hand. It can mean to throw. It can mean to use the hands in a symbol of revering or worshiping as you extend the hand. And these are all Hebrew meanings. To hold the hand out. Now, I just got to tell you, and I think I left it in your definition, that when I read that one, I was reminded of the covenant handshake and the cutting of the covenant. And I couldn't also help but think about when I read this what I can remember my dad saying. And you got to remember, Dad was a football coach. So, what is this in football parlance? Touchdown or a field goal being good, or you scored, or you've accomplished something over your enemy. But what is this also a sign of? Surrender. So in surrender, we get victory. Now I'm just going to tell you, I watched a TV program the other night in which a host had about 20 people on both sides of the political aisle, on both sides of a racial divide, and I've never seen so much arguing and not listening to each other. And I thought, here we are, just have taught teaching, and yet if they, we've been teaching about love, and yet if they would do a little bit of surrendering to each other, there's probably a victory to be had by all. And so I think the things we're talking about now are pertinent. Now, this word, yada, as we go through the scriptures today, I want you to begin to think about the thanksgiving part of it more, because that's literally the way the Hebrew implies it. Now, my New American Standard Bible translates it, give thanks, a whole bunch more than the King James. So we're going to be looking at King James and. But the thing I want you to see, I want you just to listen as we read verses that say, praise the Lord, and you understand the background of giving thanks. So, the first time it's used in Scripture is in Genesis, the 29th chapter. And you're going to have to be patient with me because I'm going to have to open both Bibles a lot of times. Genesis, the 29th chapter. This is concerning Leah. And in verse 31, the word starts to talk about her being barren and her womb being open. And then she conceives. And every time she conceives, she has a thought about the Lord. And every time that she does that, she names her child afterwards. With the first one, she says, he has seen my affliction. And so she names him Reuben, which literally means to see a son. Then in the second one, she says, the Lord has heard. She says that she was unloved because she didn't have but one. And she got another son, and she named him Simeon, which means it comes from the word to hear intelligently, which is the word for obedience in the Old Testament. And then she came to again, she conceived again, and it meant, she said, now my husband will be attached to me. And so she named him Levi, which literally the word Leva, which Levi comes from, means to intertwine or to unite. And then down in verse 35 is the word we want to look at. And it says, and she conceived again and bore a son. And I'm going to read you King James. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. And King James says she quit bearing. So the word Judah comes from the word, and I think the way the Hebrew pronounces Judah is Yehuda. And so it's the same word, and my New American Standard says, also, this time I will praise the Lord, but is this word Yada. Now, begin to think about, because you've seen that to the Jewish mind, Yada is centered around giving thanks. So what is she doing in praising the Lord? She is giving thanks. And how often do we see thanksgiving almost something separate from praise? And so just let this grow and swell in you today, because it's the way it did to me. Now, 2 Samuel 22 is the first time that it's used as thanks. So I'm just going to read this out of New American Standard, since it's the same in both old and new. This is the first time it occurs in the order of the books as they're in there. And who would you guess is giving thanks here in this book at this time? It's David. And so, but down in verse 50, David in this song of his says, therefore I will, he's talking about being rescued from the violent and from his enemies. And he says, therefore I will give thanks. I will Yada, thee, O Lord, amongst the nations. Then he goes on and he says, I will sing praises to thee. And so we see a word, sing and praises. And that word is another one that we'll look at next week, I believe, zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. So you're going to see that a lot today, but we won't talk about it until next week. So what's he doing? Giving thanks. If you want to look in chronological time, then in 1 Samuel 16, before he wrote that last song, 1 Chronicles 16, before he wrote that last song, in verse 34, David says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, Yada, again, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So we begin to see this over and over. Leviticus 5 is where it's first used as confess. And this is the only discussion we're going to have of the word as it's translated confess here today, because I believe what the Lord gave me we can pick up with just two verses. In Leviticus 5:5, it's talking about confessing guilt as it pertains to the sin and guilt offerings. And in verse 5 it says, So it shall be when he becomes guilty in one of these, talking about one of the sins, that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. Now, isn't it interesting that confession of sin is the word that's used there is primarily used to give thanks. Let me read you one more. Look at Leviticus 16:21. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess, Yada, over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to their sins. And he shall lay the hand of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. So here, what's he doing? He's laying his hands on the scapegoat that is sent out so that they don't have to look at this goat anymore, so that they can see their sin has been taken away for the year. So here again, we have it related, confess. The word that's used is Yada. So, as I begin to think about that, then being used to release the sin, an impartation, confess, give thanks. What do we normally can think of when we say, oh, I need to confess that? That I realize I've messed up or I've been caught for doing something wrong, but Do we see the mercy and the grace in the confession? And as we are confessing, we ought to be giving thanks for that mercy and grace coming to us. That's what hit me as I read that word. Instead of thinking, oh my gosh, I've been found out, I need to confess, like God just knew it when we thought of it as sin, then we just need to turn to Him, and that confession ought to be an act of thanksgiving, because He does take our sins and He's taken them away. And so that was a powerful one for me. I also thought about the fact that what do we do in a courtroom? We confess with our hand raised. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. So those were two ties I thought about, but the one that really hit me was the confession of sin and that attitude in that confession of expressing thanks for the mercy and the grace that He's shown us to take it away and not give us what we deserve. Now I want to look at a few other scriptures. So go to Psalm 7, and we're going to look at a few scriptures where the King James translates it praise, and the New American Standard says give thanks. And why do I want to do this? Because I think of a lot, for most of us, we don't equate thanksgiving and giving of thanks and praise in the same thought process. And it'll change the way you look at some things, I believe. So Psalm 7, verse 17, last verse. King James says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord, the Most High. The first word there for praise is Yada. The second word is that word Zamar that we talked about. My New American Standard Bible says, I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness. So I want you just to begin to see and think about giving thanks while we're giving praise. And why are we giving thanks to the Lord? We're doing it into what? According to or in relation to His righteousness. How many times have you ever thought about thanking the Lord that He is the righteous judge, that He is righteous? We ought to, because now you've been made that same righteousness. So giving thanks to it begins to take on a little different mindset. Look at Psalm 9. In King James, it says, I will praise Yada, O Lord, praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thee, to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Now that word, second word for praise is the same word, Zamar, that we'll be talking about more later. Now let me read you this in the New American Standard. Okay, King James said, I'm going to praise you with all my heart. This says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Now, a lot of times I think about praising with all my heart, and we see, think the halal and the exuberance and those kind of things, to where it's, we're just worshiping and praising that manner. But think about giving thanks to someone, to Him, with your whole being. Putting your whole being. And so often we just say, well, thank you. And we go on. Instead of, gosh, thank you. And just pour out your heart to Him. Do it wholeheartedly. I don't know. Again, these things just hit me as I was studying these scriptures and finding cases where they were one word praise and one word give thanks. It just opened up what some of these psalms are really talking about. And I would encourage you to go back and read the entire psalm because it even helps when you do that. Now look at Psalm 28. Sure. Yeah, what I want you to see is that a natural part of praise, the reason you're praising, is because you're thankful. And the two are so closely related, yet we view them as totally different. And we'll look at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament that talk about what happens to those who are unthankful. Because I think a lot of times people will praise the Lord, and we say, praise the Lord just because of who He is. Well, we ought to be thankful just because of who He is. And so we take us and that spirit connection out when we just praise as an object versus being thankful because we see His attributes have been placed inside you and me. And so it has created a different awareness. It's almost that spirit part. Yes. Yes, sir. So let me talk about that one just a second, because that's a great point. How we address Him a lot of times in praising is looking at Him as Jehovah God, as as that being that is supreme. But when we're expressing thanks, what are we doing? We're almost getting into that daddy mode and that intimacy that comes there. And so these two have just begun to merge together for me a lot. Now look at Psalm 28, the 7th verse. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Okay, I got to stop there. What did we read early on? I mean, what did I tell you? Look at Ephesians 6:10. Substitute love for Lord. Love is my strength and my shield. Then it goes on and says, my heart trusts him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart exults. Now, let's stop there. So if your heart is exulting, what is your heart doing? It's joyful. It's rejoicing. And then that makes you think about the joy of the Lord is my strength. So where did all that start here? It started with the Lord, but if we substitute love, there it goes back to that love relationship. His love to me, my love to him. And then it winds up saying, and therefore with my song, I will yada him. Now, so giving of thanks then, what we're beginning to see in praise and worship is also expressed by what? By just standing with our hands up. As we raise our hands to the heaven, acknowledging him. So people who are uncomfortable with when they see hands being raised in church, you got some good scripture here now. Just to show them, don't be uncomfortable with it. This is something that the Hebrew people did as a way of life. And that's why we're studying these, because I think for me it's a way of life. Then look at verse 8. What does it come right back to? Love the Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Well, hallelujah. How can you help but raise your hand and give thanks to that fact? Now, the last one of these that we're going to look at is Psalm 50, verse 23. Excuse me, I'm looking ahead. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead. Psalm 109, verse 30. I'm wanting to get down into the next one, because you're going to see a lot of the same thoughts continued. Now, Doug, I remember you asked a question several weeks ago about, do we have to say something when we're praising? Look at this verse. With my mouth, I will give thanks. King James says praise. Abundantly to the Lord. And in the midst of many, I will hallow him. So you think about it. You can be thankful, but if you're going to give thanks, you need to do what? Have an expression, use your voice, or raise your hands. Or what do we do sometimes when somebody does something kind to them? We extend our hand and grasp hands and say thank you so very much. So the hands are routinely involved in giving of thanks, as well as our mouth. Now, I'm not going to look at each of these next two. I want to look at one in each one. So go to Psalm 42, verse 5. Because I want to get on to the next one. We're okay. No, I'm going to have to look at both of them because the second one's good. Psalm 42, verse 5. Now, this is one where both are translated, New American Standard and King James is translated praise. But don't forget as we read this Thanksgiving concept. Why are you in despair or downcast, O my soul? In other words, why you got a long face? Why are you so sad? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. Now, we've read that psalm a lot, and we say, well, when you get into despair, praise Him. That's a good thing to do. But read it in terms of giving thanks. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. What is hope? What is Bible hope? Joyful expectation. And so if you're joyfully expecting something, before you see it, what does He say do here? Give thanks. Praise Him. Why are you praising Him? Because you know that you're expecting something, and if you're joyful, you know it because it's going to come true. So when are we giving thanks in this context? Before we see it. So you see that in that verse? Now look at verse 11. He says again, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you come disturbed in me? Some translations say, wait in God. And it says, for I shall yet yada Him, the help of my countenance and my God. So in praising Him, we're actually giving thanks and honoring Him because we know He's going to honor His word and do what He said. And that's what hope is to have hope and confidence and trust in Him when I'm downcast. And that can turn my despair, turn my mourning into dancing. So we see how praise and this concept of giving thanks with this word is so important. And, you know, it's made me, every time I see the word praise now in my Bible, I want to know which one it is and what's the context behind it. And I'm thinking about how I can just share something with you in a handout that might give you all that, but that's a lot of paper right now, so I'm trying to figure out a way to do it a little differently, and I don't have the answer yet. Now look just next door to that one in Psalm 43. Verse 4, then I go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise Him. O God, my God. Then verse 5, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, and I will again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Both of those words are yada. Extend the hands, raise the hands, show gratitude toward. And so we can see that even in songs, we can be giving thanks according to what this verse says, upon the lyre I shall praise Thee. Psalm 30, we're not far from it. In both translations now, this is thanks. Verse 4. Sing praise, Zamar, to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks, Yada, to His holy name. Why? For His anger is for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. So what is He talking about there? He's talking about those times when you think things are held back. If we'll begin to praise or sing and worship and give thanks, then it takes that transition of what it says in verse 5, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of what? Joy comes in the morning, for His anger is for a moment, but His favor is for a lifetime. So it brings that favor. It gets us looking off the situation to the favor of God as we worship and praise in that manner. And you can look at Psalm 35:18 later. But I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 20. And you know what's coming when we go to 2 Chronicles 20. This is the account of Jehoshaphat when the armies come against him and they seek the face of the Lord. They pray by giving praise first, by asking for the request, giving praise, he's going to answer them. They get a word from the Lord. He says, don't fight the battle. You don't have to fight the battle. I'm going to fight it. And then we get down to the part where they're ready to send out the singers. And so we start in verse 20. So verse 20 of chapter 20. And they rose early in the morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord God, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophet and succeed. Now, what is it talking about with the prophet there? The word of the Lord they got. What did this psalm that we see earlier, what did David proclaim? That I will yada you for your word. I will praise you for your word. And then it goes on in verse 21. It says, when he consulted the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised. Hallel is that word. Those who hallowed him in holy attire, and they went out before the army. So if they were in holy attire, what does that mean? That they were in like a priestly attire. Okay? And they went out before the army, and they said, and look what they said, Yada to the Lord, for his loving kindness is ever. So they didn't go out just praising and singing songs about him. They went out doing what? Thanking him in gratitude for what he was about to do. So when we got a battle to fight, if we'll praise with the mindset of giving thanks, then he's no respecter of persons. In fact, all we're doing that a lot of times is enforcing the defeat of Satan upon him, because we've already have got it. So giving thanks to me is one way, particularly when we quote scripture and give thanks through that praise to him, is one way of using the sword of the Spirit. Now, any questions about this word? Because the next word leads right back into it. It's the word Towdah, T-O-W-D-A-H or T-O-D-A-H. It's used in 30 verses and 32 times, and you can see it's translated thanks an overwhelming majority, almost 70%, probably over 70% of the time. It actually comes from the word yada, and properly it means an extension of the hand, but what does it imply? An avowal or an adoration. Specifically, it's used as a choir of worshipers. So again, we're in that same concept of thanksgiving. We're not going to look as at many verses in this one. Look at Leviticus 7. This is the first time it's used. So Leviticus 7, verse 11. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. Now, the peace offerings there, the word for peace offerings is S-H-E-L-E-M, which comes from shalom, which literally means a voluntary sacrifice given in thanks. That's what the literal meaning of that is. So, a peace offering shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and it tells how he should do it. And then in verse 13 it says, with the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, all those words are this word, todah, or taudah. So isn't it interesting? Now why were they giving peace offerings? Because they'd screwed up and sinned. And in doing so, they obtained what? Reconciliation, or the ability to get back in a communion. so that sin didn't break it. Isn't it interesting, again, how we got that same word used in that restoration of fellowship? So when I'm going to confess my sins the next time, I'm not just going to do it on my knees, groveling on the ground like I'm trying to earn some forgiveness from Him. I'm going to confess my sins with my hands raised, knowing that He's already made me clean, and I'm just acknowledging what He's already done and giving Him thanks for it. A little different attitude there when you're asking for forgiveness. Psalm 100, verse 4. You know exactly what this one's going to say. Enter His gates with Taudah, and enter His courts with praise. Now that word praise there in this verse is Tehillah. And that's a word we'll study a little later on. And that is a very important word because it literally means with a new song, which ties into some New Testament things. We'll get there. And then it says, give thanks to Him. That word is Yada. And bless His name. And bless, there is the word Barak, which is the last one we're going to study today. So you got a lot of four of the seven words for praise listed in this one verse, which should not surprise us. Because when we come boldly to the throne, even after we've sinned and are giving thanks for forgiveness, isn't this how we enter in? So it shouldn't surprise us that four of those are used. Now look at Psalm 147. This is another verse for people concerning raising of the hands. And this is a praise that is sung for Jerusalem's restoration and the prosperity of Jerusalem. Read the first verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For it is good to sing praises. That's the word Samah. For it is pleasant and praise. For it is pleasant and praise is becoming. Now, I didn't look that word for praise up there. Maybe we'll do it before we leave, but I didn't do it. Then down to verse 7, which is the one I wanted us to see. Sing to the Lord. Now, the word there, sing, means in speaking or in singing, or speaking or in song. But sing to the Lord with what? Taudah. Or Todah. Sing praises to the Lord, our God, on the lyre. That's Zamar. So, what do we see? That when we are singing, here's another psalm, another verse we have that says that is very appropriate to be giving thanks to Him in that song. Now, I know that a lot of places this isn't accepted. And I'll tell you, some of the hardest times I've had in praise is when I go to denominational churches and the praise is good and it's like, sometimes I honor them and not insult them because I know that's their way of doing things. But there are times when I just can't help it. And I think that's okay too. I've not got kicked out yet. Now look at Psalm 50 where I tried to send you a while ago. And I'm going to read this to you in King James first. This is one of those that I like better in the New American Standard because we don't talk the old English way. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show, S-H-E-W, the salvation of God. Let me read it to you in New American Standard so you can understand which word is used. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Now, what is a sacrifice? It involves taking something, and the word literally means to kill it. But it's doing something that requires something from us, if I can say it that way. And it's us doing something that we may not feel like doing. To me, that's what it is when we're really talking about a sacrifice of praise. It's something I don't feel like doing at that time, but yet I'm going to do it. And so here it's talking about us offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Not just praising Him for who He is, but of being thankful because of how who He is impacts me. Be thankful. So offer a sacrifice of praise does what? Honors Him. The word for honors there is the word kabod, which means to make weighty, which is used, the word used is used for glory. And that's why King James says what glorifieth me. So how do we glorify the Lord? It's a way of honoring Him by speaking and giving thanks to Him that exalts Him in our eyes. And then it goes on to say, and to him who orders his way aright, or that's what the word's used for conversation in King James, will I show the salvation of God. And what is included in our salvation? It's not just eternal life with Him. I'm not minimizing that. But it's also what our salvation provides us today in this earth. From healing, peace, joy, an abundance of all things. And one of the Psalms we just read said, I will give thanks abundantly. So if we want abundance in our lives, reckon how we ought to give thanks. An abundance of it. So as we've gone through this, I hope you see how thanksgiving is such an important role in our praise. And you really can't separate them. Now I want to look at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament about thanksgiving. The first one I want to go to is Romans 1. Now in Romans, he's talking about the fact that everybody ought to be able to look at God's creation and recognize that this just didn't evolve from a big bang. And I've said to you before, I can go to a junkyard and get all kind of scrap metal and put as much of it in different kinds as I want. And I can explode dynamite on it and I can never get it to turn into a Mercedes-Benz. But he says, talking about in verse 19 or 20, because that which is known about God is evident within, for God made it evident within. For since creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they're without excuse. And verse 21 is the one I wanted to focus on. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, or do what? Or give thanks. Now, this is the easiest. This is talking about men who didn't accept Him. Even though they knew that there was, but they didn't accept Him. It can also be talking about believers who know Him, have experienced Him, but begin to become callous or begin to just take it for granted. And look what it says happens when we don't honor God and don't give thanks. says they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. So what do we see from this scripture? That being attuned to the one who we know has provided us these things in this creation, this world we live in, to give thanks not to the earth, but to Him. Honor the Creator, not the creation. And so we see how important it is. We also see this in Philippians 4. So look at that as we wrap this one up. Sixth verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. So, do you realize that when we're giving thanks in our prayers, as we start with thanksgiving, as we conclude with thanksgiving, that we're not only giving thanks, but we're praising Him? Because we're saying, you're going to be committed to your word, and we praise you for that. And we're honoring Him, making Him weighty, giving Him glory. He who offers thanksgiving glorifieth, makes weighty. So there's a lot going on when we praise, if we'll do it with an attitude of thankfulness. And then we see the consequences of not having that attitude of thankfulness. All right, any questions on these two words? In this short time, has it begun to alter your perspective a little bit about what thanksgiving is and how it's related to praise? Well, let's wrap today up by looking at the word Barak, B-A-R-A-K. This word is most frequently translated bless, 302 out of the 330 times. It's also got 4 or 5 where it's talking about kneeling, because that's literally what you're going to see the Hebrew word means. But I want to tell you, bless is used more by the Lord talking about blessing you than it is talking about man blessing Him. Why do I say that? For that reason, we should be thankful. It literally means to kneel. Now, when I think about that, I don't think about Hebrews. I think about the Queen of England having someone come in, and when she was going to, queen or king, they were going to knight him. What would the knight do? Would kneel before them. And they were honoring them and empowering them as a knight to obtain the things that were right for a knight to get. That's what the Lord is doing here. By implication, to bless God as an act of adoration, and vice versa, Him blessing us as a man as a benefit. Now, when it's talking about blessing God, when God blesses us as a man, the word bless there literally has the connotation to be blessed or to cause to prosper or empowered to prosper. But that's not true in the reverse sense, because it's us kneeling before Him, not to receive from Him, although everything that He does for us, that He instructs us to do in worshiping toward Him, has a benefit to us. But we are kneeling toward Him in order to exhibit our adoration for Him. Now this ties into also to worship, and we'll talk about that. Even though this word is never translated worship, but it is translated praise twice. And that's the only reason we're looking at it right now. So, without looking, without turning to the scripture, the first reference of bless, since it's used more about God blessing us, where would you imagine it is? In creation. And God did what? He blessed them. And so we know what that means. The first time it's used as praise is in Judges 5:2. So turn there with me real quick. We'll look at a few scriptures. Now don't do what I did yesterday and turn to Joshua 5:2. Because they are right next to each other. Let's judge. That word is not in there. That the leaders in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. And this is a song, if you look back in verse 1, that Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day. And interesting that I don't know how the word became associated with his name, but the man named the same thing as the word, was praising. I will sing, verse 3, I will sing praise to the Lord. Bless the Lord is what was in verse 2. Now, it's also used toward man, and you don't look it up, but you can see as one man blessing another, as in Solomon, and that's in verse 72:15, a song about Solomon, but you can translate that into things for us. And then man to bless God, the first time that we see it also is in Deuteronomy 8:10. Another time we see it is in Deuteronomy 8:10. And it says, when you have eaten and you are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord for the good land which He has given you. So even in that, it has that connotation of what? Thanksgiving. So see how they're all tied together. Now, let's go to Psalm 72:15. You notice I put it in here twice. How are we doing? We can get there. Now, even though this is talking about, it was written by Solomon and talking about things that happened to him, it's really a foretelling of prophecy about the prosperity and, if I could use the word, perpetuity, the ongoing kingdom of God or kingdom of Christ. So it's really talking about him. And look down in verse 15. So he may live, and may the gold of Sheba be given to him. Now we know that happened to Solomon, but again, this is a prophetic word. And let them pray for him continually. Let them bless him, talking about the Lord, all day long. So you begin to see that this concept of adoration coming through submitting. What do we do when we kneel before somebody? Humble ourselves. You remember Mephibosheth when he came to David, and what did he? I believe he came thinking David's called me, he's going to get rid of me, so there's none of us left. And what did he do before him? He knelt before him. That's also the position that people got in when they had their heads chopped off. So he was going ahead and submitting to what he thought was going to happen, even though it was not good for him. And David never even looked at him. Get up. Called him by his name, which is what the Lord does to us. Now look at Psalm 16:7, another time it's used. Well, I believe it's a prophetic. Yeah, where they at that time were praying about something to happen. But you read the whole psalm and you'll get the context of those verses. Psalm 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, some translations say my reins, my inside, mine says my mind, instructs thee in me in the night. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Now, what is he saying in talking about blessing then? He's talking about giving thanks, but he's also talking about what? Kneeling and submitting to that counsel or being willing to act on it. Now, this next one, you know this Psalm 103. It's the one we say when we've eaten the food and realize we haven't given thanks for it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. So here he's talking about bless the Lord, and I think the all that is within me is talking about that wholeheartedness again. So that act of submission is not just submitting for this one thing. He's talking about what? If I'm kneeling before Him, all that is within me, I'm giving Him everything. And so what does the New Testament tell us? We're to make ourselves a living sacrifice of praise. And I added, obviously, of praise. Psalm 95, the last one for today, the sixth verse. Come, let us worship. We'll look at that word later. And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Let us barak. Is the word for kneel there, before the Lord our Maker. So let us come and bless Him. Let us worship Him. Let us bless Him. And it's using here the actual action of bending the knee. So that's really all that I wanted to share today. I felt like the Lord had led us to share. And next week, we've done four. So next week, we'll look at the final three words. And then we'll come back and study worship for a session. But let me encourage you. Think about this Thanksgiving thing some. I knew giving thanks was important. But in the 2 weeks since we last met, it has just increased. And I realize why so many times I hear coming out of my spirit, man, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I mean, just I'm saying that more than I realize, and it's just caused my attention to how important it is. And my commitment now is to try to do it more wholehearted. I always said, and I like what was added, that attitude determines altitude. I use that and put it on a notebook when my son Ben was learning to be a place kicker in football. Because what's the most important thing you got to do? You got to kick it long, you got to kick it straight, but you got to get it up high enough to begin with to get over the line, or it doesn't do any good how long or straight it is, because it's going to get blocked. And we had a drill he hated. It was just, he didn't like it. And so I put this notebook together to help us track his kicking and said in it, on the front of it, attitude determines altitude. An airplane. What do you do when you want to make an airplane go up? You change its attitude or its relationship to the ground and put the nose up, and with power it will climb. And I like what this one says, though. Gratitude is the attitude that determines my altitude. So we see the importance of Thanksgiving in that thing. Well, bless you.